there's a major need. I pray that everything turns out for the family and John. We love you. Appreciate you. Praying for you. Me and John actually went to Bible college together. I remember many a times going down the halls and asking John how he was doing, and he was doing good. He was doing good. He loved nachos. He loved mariachis. We spent many of dinners together. We were in the same group of friends, and we'd go out to dinner. And John loved mariachis so much that he asked the mariachis to sing. And they proceeded to sing. And then John threw another song out there, and they sang another song. And I said, John, you need to stop asking them to sing. And he's like, why? They're doing really good. I said, yeah, but they're expecting you to pay for it. I said, John, don't ask anymore. So I tipped them and asked them to leave in Spanish. So John's like, where'd they go? I'm like, they have other things to do, John. Needless to say, we had a great time. As Grandma would say, those were the best years of my life. I can honestly tell you, I was blessed, felt that I was in the will of God while I was there, and soaked up the Word of God as much as I could. I was one of those kids that when I was converted, I don't know how to explain it, where Jesus found me or I found Jesus, but it was a mutual agreement that it was best for me if I stayed in church. And it was like going to church every day. I completely loved it. And whenever I wasn't in church on Saturdays and Sundays, I went somewhere where I could have church. So had a great time, enjoyed my time there. Would like to give honor to my pastor. I love him dearly. I want to thank him for taking a chance on a kid that had never preached before and said, you can come and work with me. It's been May 1st, it's been 18 years. And I've had my license for 17 of those 18 years as a minister. And I give praise to God because never could have imagined where God has brought me from where I was. And the title of my message is, Whose Glasses Are You Wearing? And here recently, as Pastor has alluded, seeing becomes very important. While you're having issues with your eyes, I offered to drive him home, and then I realized that morning that I myself had to have my eyes dilated. So I have these really cool glasses that I am not going to show you the picture of. As my mom calls them, her movie star glasses. They're these huge over your regular glasses. But whenever you can't see it, it becomes a problem. And you see things fuzzy, you see things unclear. Whenever you can't see, you are disoriented. You find it difficult to even navigate the most familiar of surroundings just because you're so used to seeing and you become so comfortable with seeing. And it's not until you don't have that ability that that you miss it so much. You miss it so much. And you do everything you possibly can to do that. And vision has the ability to give you comfortable, gives you the ability to be comfortable in your situation, in your surroundings. If I can see it coming, I can handle it. If I can see it coming towards me, I know what to do. And sometimes we look at the future and we see we're unclear about it. But how many of us drive at night and only can see 200 feet in front of the car and we continue to press on? Living for God is just that. Is trusting God in your future, and you press on in faith. You're driving in the dark, but you have light enough. You have faith enough. God gives you enough to see right in front of you. And by faith, you keep going. You keep going. In the passing of Grandma Bryant, there's a lot of information that we have received from her youth. and things that we saw in books and in papers that we were going through, finding out that she was the first convert in the church that she attended. At 15 years old, going to a church and finding Jesus, finding what she needed, and staying faithful from 16 years old. Serving God, was a youth leader, was a pastor's wife, was a graduate from ABI. And the list goes on and on of the things that she did. Her family was not in church. Her parents, she actually ended up bringing her parents to church. Shortly after she received the Holy Ghost, her parents received the Holy Ghost. She was a trailblazer in this general area. She was a contributing factor to spreading the gospel in this area. We found documentation that she used to come to street meetings in Warsaw and invite people to church. They had a vision and they built a church in North Webster that is still there today as a structure, not necessarily as a church. The structure is still there that they built. And the thing is that I did not know what we had as a patriarch in, you know, you appreciate it to some degree. And you thank her. In fact, today I stand before you with this huge void in my life of a prayer warrior that was fighting for me that I did not know. I had a small glimpse of praying for you, and how many times we tell people, well, we're praying for you, and sometimes we forget. She never forgot. She never forgot. In fact, at one point, we took dinner to her and wanted to spend time with her, and she got a phone call, and she said, excuse me. And she got on the phone call, and talking to that person, they were quite distressed. And she said, do you want me to pray for you? And understand this, the pizza was on the table, steam coming off the pizza, drink glistening with beads of sweat. And she said, 1 second. And she put the phone down and proceeded to pray. And within 3 words into the prayer, she was speaking in tongues. That was the kind of person she was. She was not faking it, she was living it. She was living it. And I just stood there in awe of this great woman that she was. That by chance that I could have a glimpse of what she had. And the thing is that she did more in the closet than I have out here in my life. She did more in her life than I could ever imagine. And the stories are still coming forward of the people she's affected, the people that she's touched. And in fact, at this point, her funeral has received the most likes, the most views, the most anything that we have put out there since we started Facebook. It's upwards of 2,000 views. There's upwards of, I'm afraid to tell you the numbers because they're huge. One event has touched thousands of people with her life. And this morning I was listening to one of my devotionals, and this gentleman went to a village in Argentina. And he was courting this young lady that this old lady had introduced her to. It was her granddaughter. And says, here, I want you to meet my granddaughter. She was playing matchmaker. The guy's name was Juan Carlos Ortiz. And he came, he went to the date and was sitting there with the girl and her grandmother. And she proceeded to tell, well, this is my son. This is my nephew. This is my daughter, my granddaughter, my niece, my nephew. And she went on and on. And how well-educated, professional people and wonderful, good-looking, fed people were in the family. He says, and Juan turns around and asks the lady, how'd you do it? How'd you do it? How did you bless all these people? How did you do it? And her response was unexpected. He said, I didn't. He's like, what do you mean? These are all your family. He's like, you're right. They are all my family. But I didn't feed them all. I only fed my children. I only fed my children. And I took care of my children. And when my children got married, they influenced their spouse. And then they influenced their children. And then their children were taught the same things that I had taught my kids. And that went on and on and on. And if you have an opportunity to see the funeral or were here for the funeral, you saw that half of the church was filled with Grandma Bryant's family. It was four rows deep and completely full on both sides. And at one point we had this great exodus and all of them came to the platform and filled the platform with just her family. And you would ask her, how did you do it? She said, I didn't. I just taught my kids, Nina, Patty, Judy, and Jack. I taught them. And they taught, they influenced their spouses. And that influenced their kids. And then that influenced their grandkids. Yes. Can I tell you today that if you would just focus on one person this year, Pastor mentioned it, each one win one. If you would take care of your children in the Spirit, your children in the Spirit, can you imagine the effect that we would have in this city?
Yes, absolutely.
Can you imagine if we would double in size every year? Every year. There would not be a building in Warsaw that would contain it. If we just focus on one person. One person. Do you think we can win one person? Do you have the confidence to win one person? I honestly believe that you can. You can win one person. If I had that challenge of just winning one person. One person. That's my challenge. One person. Grandma Bryant had four. If you could just focus on one person. Just one person. Laser focus on one person. Make them their friends. I can honestly tell you, if you pray to God to give you one person to focus on. Just one person you can be their friend. That you can be that person they call. That person that they'll find you. I kid you not, they'll find you. I was out in the middle of Harrison throwing a disc, minding my own business. And this kid shows up. A kid that I had met many years ago. And I'm like, hey, you want to throw some? And I gave him a set of three of the 25 that I've acquired. Don't tell my wife. She's probably watching. But gave this kid three discs and for three holes just chatted, just talked. And he's like, are you coming back again? I says, well, I guess I could. When are you going to be back? I said, are you doing anything Thursday? We could come out and play Thursday. He's like, I'll be there. People are hungry. They're hungry. They're hungry for a relationship. A relationship just to talk, just to spend time with God's people. Same thing happened again at McDonald's a couple weeks ago. I was minding my own business, eating my own cheeseburger. And from across McDonald's, he's like, Iggy! I'm like, who's yelling my name? And he's like, you don't remember me, do you? I said, yeah, I remember the face. I don't know your name. And he's like, well, you used to do this and you used to do that. My family used to come to church. It's been 5 or 6 years since I've seen him, but he still remembers me. Why? Because you show him love. You just show him love. You show him love. It's nothing that I did. It's something that God did. And my son, he's like, hey, do you know him? I said, sorta. Sorta. But you make yourself available. You open yourself up.
Yes.
And you pick one. And you just keep at it. Grandma Brian, after 60 years of serving the Lord, had a whole church full of people and has blown up Facebook as a result of it. And the thing is that it was in her heart. I picked her up several times, and that's what she talked about. She was like, how can I reach souls? How can I reach souls? How can I reach souls? I kid you not, I almost hated going to pick her up because I knew that I was going to feel horrible afterwards. That I was going to feel like a ranked sinner, like I hadn't lived for God any time in my life, and I'm not doing enough for Jesus when at 90 years old, still concerned about souls. Still talking about giving out CDs. Giving out CDs, touching people. And that's what she was about. And if I could today, whose glasses are you wearing? Is who do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a person that can win souls? And if you don't feel comfortable with that idea, the thing is this. You are called to be a disciple. You are called to make disciples. Every single one of us, not just the preachers, not just the pastors, not just the ministers, but every single one of us are called to be disciples and disciple makers. There's no seclusion, there's no separating. Well, Iggy can do that. No, it's everybody can do it. Everybody can do it. And if you don't feel comfortable with that, study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. You gain confidence in doing any job that you do, that you get paid to do, and you have confidence in it. You have confidence in doing it. You know, ask Terry Hughes about polishing stuff. He was polishing knees and he was polishing other things. And he explained to me how he does that. And he knows that. And he has confidence in that. Why? Because he did it for years and years and years. Do you know why Grandma Bryant was confident in reaching souls? Is because she did it year after year after year after year. Leaders are born, but because everybody is born. But leaders are made through the process of time. To go make disciples. If you're not unclear what you need to do, let me know. We'll have a class. I'll sit down and talk with you. And we can, not that I'm perfect by any means. You might teach me a few things, but I'm willing to work with you. I'm willing to do it. Brother Joe has done a fantastic job reaching Pearson in prayer and just talking to people. Why? Because it's in his heart. It's in his heart. Did Brother Joe go through a class? No. But he's working at it. Does he know every ins and outs about it? Probably not. But how else are you going to learn unless you put yourself out there? You have to be willing to make yourself a fool for the Lord. It says, through the foolishness of preaching, many people are touched. Many people are changed. Henry Ford has been accredited to saying, if you say you can't or you say you can, you are right. You are right. Why? Because in saying that you can't, you eliminate the power, the energy, the drive. You're right, you can't because you don't have a desire to make it happen. But if you say you can, and you put every effort, every energy, everything that is about you, if you put it forth, guess what? Something's going to stick. something's going to happen. Something will change. Something will transform. Even if you do it wrong, you learn how not to do it. I can honestly tell you, I tried to do everything wrong in my relationship with my wife and wanting to run her off to make sure that she wanted to stay. As silly as that may sound, I did everything wrong. When I kissed her the first time, I missed. When I tried to hold her hand, I completely missed her hand. I've introduced her as Heather, and obviously you know her name is Jennifer. And when she says she loves me, I said, honey, I know. I know you love me. Because anybody else would have ran the other direction. And I love my wife and I honor my wife. She's a wonderful lady. I am truly blessed. I am truly blessed. But see, let me tell you, if you throw yourself at it, if you give of yourself, of your time, of your energy, of your effort to winning souls, you will win souls. You will win souls. You will win souls. When Jesus was on his hands and knees washing the feet of the disciples, and it's ironic that this was a conversation we were having right before church about feet. When Jesus was on his hands and knees washing the disciples' feet, he came over to Peter and said, Peter, I need to wash your feet. And he said, oh no, Lord, you will not wash my feet. Because he had the attitude of Lane, you ain't touching my feet. My feet are gross. You're not touching my feet. And Jesus said to him, you don't understand. And he's like, if I can't wash your feet, you can't have any part of me. You can't have any part of me. And Peter, being Peter, and the attitude that he has, he says, well, if that's the case, Jesus, wash my head, wash my hands, wash. And he's like, Peter, you don't get it. I'm not talking about cleanliness. Didn't you shower this morning? In the message, it says you took a shower this morning. You bathed this morning. You don't need a shower. I'm trying to show you something spiritual here. That you have to humble yourself before your brother, before your sister. Because how will people know that you are my disciples? Is by the love that you show one to another. One to another. And I'll be honest with you. I want you preachers to be great preachers. I want the very best for you. I'm excited for you when people come to the altar and you're preaching. I'm excited for you because God is using you. When you're sharing truth, when you're sharing the Word of God, when you are under the anointing and God's blessing you, I am excited for you. Because that's the same thing that I desire for myself. To be used of God. To be an instrument in God's hand. And I want the very best for you. And we want the best for each other. And that's how we show. When somebody wins a soul, it's not like, oh, he probably paid him to come and get baptized. No, it's one more for the kingdom of God. It's one more for the kingdom of God. It's one more name written in the Lamb's book of life. We are not in competition. If anything, we are here to sock the devil in the nose. We are here to fight. We are here to win souls for the kingdom of God through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why. That's why we're here. And we're here to win souls. We're here to win souls. Many a times we see in Scripture men, women saying how bad they are and how they can't accomplish anything for God. And his response is, that's exactly why I picked you. That's exactly why I picked you. Because by all means, I should not be here. And I'm only here through the grace of God. So when I tell you that God has mercy, God has grace. He does. He does. He does. And I want to play one last thing for you. And Sister Joni, if you would allow me. I don't have Grandma Bryant, but I save this because while I was going through some stuff, while I was going through some stuff and not knowing whether anything would be okay, I'd sit in my warehouse and I'd listen to this.
Hi, Brother Iggy. This is Sister Joni. I wanted to pray for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I plead the blood of Jesus. Touch Brother Iggy, Father. Give his body the strength he needs and minister to him right now. Touch him, Father. Minister, oh God, touch and heal. I give you the glory, give you the praise. By thy stripes, we have a promise of our healing. Because of Calvary, Lord Jesus, for our healing and our salvation. I thank you, God, for what you're doing right now and what you're going to do. I thank you, God. Touch my brother. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father. Minister to Iggy, Father. Give him strength. Give him healing. Give his body peace. Give his body rest. Heal him, Lord, I pray. I ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, God. Thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I sit there and I listen to that over and over again. Why? Because we need each other. We need each other. Sister Joni, thank you. And I don't know how I'm going to transfer that to my next phone, but that's something to figure out later. But I can honestly tell you that I'm truly blessed to have people like you in my life. Because we need each other. We need each other. That's the only way we're going to make it. That's the only way we're going to win souls. I might not know everything. But that's when you say, hey, can I call a friend? Can I call a friend to help you? Can I call a friend? Can I call a sister to help you? We need each other. We need each other to make it to heaven. We need each other to win souls. We need each other. It's not a time to be divided. It's a time to be united. So let's lift up our hands and lift up our hearts. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love and your mercy, Lord Father God. Lord, I pray in your holy, precious name, Lord, that you would touch our hearts, touch our minds, that you would bring us, Lord Father God, to a place, Lord Father God, where we are pricked in our hearts to win souls for your kingdom and your glory. Lord, I pray that we would bind together, Lord, in your precious name, Lord Father God, to be witnesses, to take this city by storm. Lord Father God, that we would take it upon ourselves to win one soul this year, Lord, to win people for Jesus, to be moved, to be touched, to be restored, Lord Father God, that we can share, Lord Father God, and testify of the wonderful things that you are doing, Lord. We thank you, we love you, and appreciate you. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen.
It is true, without a vision, the people will perish. We need to be looking through the lens of Jesus Christ. Amen. All the things he can do. In the campground, Brother Art Hodges from San Diego, pastoring there. Also, Brother Jim Larson pastors in San Diego. But Art Hodges was the camp speaker last night. And what a message. It was powerful. It was great. But he was telling about the fact is that we must rise up. Rise up and go tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Now, we hear that oftentimes in church services and services like tonight. Great, great message, Brother Ignacio and and challenge that you give to us. But in San Diego, in that area down there, right now, and it's not only in San Diego, but other places in this United States of America, that United Pentecostal Church ministers are pastoring what we'd call denominational churches. Are pastoring what we call denominational churches. Some ask me why. Because they're hungry. They're hungry. If I would tell you the name of the pastor, well, in fact, he said it. How many have heard of Dr. Jeremiah? Very large church in the San Diego area. And they were some people, I'll put a family, but they always started with a family, who was reading their Bible, who was studying the Bible and was reading in the book of Acts where people were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they read throughout the rest of the Bible and found that anybody that's ever baptized was always baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So they went to Dr. Jeremiah and asked him about people being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And why aren't they baptizing now in the name of Jesus Christ? And he said, I don't know. Now here is a learned man that thousands are listening to on the radio and television probably every day. And he could not tell them why people in the Bible being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So they went home and they prayed and prayed and asked God to show them a church where they could be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And so as he was praying, they came across another man who was a street preacher. And the street preacher said, well, you need to go down to this certain church, name of the church. It was the church at Brother Art Hodges, pastors. They come, the mom, the dad, the children, all was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and received the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not only that, they went back to some of their friends and said, listen, we got the experience that was in the book of Acts. Amen. So Brother Hodges was telling last night at the campground that there's several families that's come looking for what the Bible actually teaches us to have. It takes people to rise up and go tell somebody.
Yes.
It takes us a time to go share our faith with somebody. And we convince ourselves. I was teaching a lesson today, this afternoon, in a class and on cognate memory, cognate thinking, which has to do with your mind and the things that your mind connected to. Your mind will influence you. Those little things go snapping inside your brain. Whatever you're influenced by, oftentimes that's what you become. If you smell a smell of a new car inside of it, you get that new car smell in your mind until you almost, you just got to have a new car. Or if you smell a chocolate cake, you've got to have that chocolate cake. Amen? So it's your mind. Everything develops your mind. Your battles are won and lost in your mind. As a man thinketh, so is he, Scripture tells us. Amen? So I like this message tonight. I think it's a challenging message. We need to look through the glasses. We need to have a vision. Sister Bright was a tremendous lady. A lot of history to her and her walk with God. But let me tell you what. Every one of us can have a history.
Yes.
Every one of us can have a history.
Yes.
Amen? And it's looking through the lens of a soul and reaching souls, sharing faith, dropping that little seed, and let God let it grow within the heart of an individual. Amen. I don't believe Damien been sitting here tonight unless Brother Robert would have dropped a seed in his heart, in his spirit. Amen. It takes root, gets a hold. Amen. And here he sits tonight on the front row. Amen. I like this saint because from the very beginning, he didn't sit in the back. He came right to the front row. And now he's showing you example. You know, It's safe to sit up here on the front row. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor will not get you down there. But it's a vision, like Brother Joe has, Pearson. It's different things in our lives, folks. Days go by. We wonder where the time goes. It goes by quickly. And only what we do for Christ will last. The seed that you leave, the soul that you won to Christ, and see it multiplied, one family come out to be a multiple of families. And this is why this church, God has a reason for this congregation being existent. Amen. It's coming. It is here. It is you that's sitting here. God's blessing you. God's blessing your life. And multiplying. Amen. Amen. Don't say, I can't do anything but Christ. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, the Apostle Paul said. Yes. Amen. Amen. And the more you do for Christ, the more resistance you're going to get from the devil.
Amen.
I'm going to give you a heads up on that. Amen. The more you try to do, more resistance. But after a while, you break through the resistance.
Yes. Yes.
You break through the resistance.
Yes.
You come through the other side. Amen. Breaking the sound barrier was a shaky thing. The pilot of that plane was shaking terribly. The plane was shaking. But once it broke through the sound barrier, it was smooth sailing from then on. When we convince ourselves, our mind, that I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me, you break through the barrier and everything goes along smoother. Or you have some problems, you have some difficult times, but they don't shake your life. They don't shake your faith. They don't destroy your walk with God. Amen?
Amen.
You've got a peace and a confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Yeah.
What a powerful God. I like to go into Owens because I've got a friend in Owens. Amen. I went in to get some meat the other day. And he was so happy. He was so happy. Have you ever met him that he's never happy? Oh, he has a smile on his face. He said, I'd like to save the best cuts for the Pentecostals. That's my kind of butcher. But it's the attitude.
Amen.
It's the attitude. Amen.